All right, so continuing with Samuel Epstein in his book, The Politics of Cancer Revisited, he says there are four basic axioms of cancer causation. And he lists those as follows. Number one, cancer is caused by exposure to chemical or physical agents in the environment. So we're talking about pesticides like glyphosate. Well, that's an herbicide, actually. Pesticides and herbicides, hormone disruptors like BPA, and also, of course, ionizing radiation, which is emitted by mammograms. So mammography is actually literally a cause of breast cancer because it emits ionizing radiation, causes DNA mutations. The second point here from Sam Epstein is that the more of a carcinogen that's present in the human environment, the greater is the chance of developing cancer from it. Now, this, for those of us who are science lab people like myself, I'm the science lab director of an ICP-MS laboratory where we test for very, very low concentrations of heavy metals. In fact, we do a lot of atomic spectrometry testing of many elements, including radioactive elements. This makes sense that the greater the concentration, the greater the risk of cancer. So the lower the concentration, obviously, the lower the risk. And this is really intuitive, or should be, to everyone who understands cause and effect. But again, this is not something that the cancer industry wants you to know. This is also something that the agriculture giants like Monsanto and DuPont do not want you to know, because they don't want you to think about the fact that you are eating cancer-causing herbicide every time you eat non-organic wheat products, for example, because they're doused with glyphosate, or that you're eating GMO toxins from BT corn or genetically modified corn or Roundup Ready soybeans or what have you. They don't want you to think about the fact that you are actually literally eating cancer-causing chemicals, and that the more you eat, the higher your risk of cancer. But it only makes sense once you understand that, hey, we live in a cause and effect universe, and cancer tumors are not voodoo black magic that just magically spontaneously appear inside your body, which is what the cancer industry wants you to believe. How insane is that, right? They believe in voodoo. Crazy. Okay, point number three, Sam Epstein's book. He says even though the environmental carcinogens are the predominant causes of human cancer, that cancer can be influenced by a variety of factors. And he lists some of them. They include genetic expression, endocrine systems, immunological factors, viral, biochemical, and possibly even psychological factors. So basically what he's saying is that these other factors can potentiate the severity of the cancer risk, or let's say the magnitude of the cancer risk that is posed by environmental exposure to cancer-causing chemicals. So what he's saying is that obviously it's not just a genetic thing. One gene does not give you cancer. The gene is either expressed or suppressed based on endocrine system, immunological factors, and so on. These other things that he talks about, including psychological factors, which includes how much stress you have, what kind of quality sleep are you getting? What are your personal relationships like? What is your job like? What is your sex life like? How much stress versus relaxation and rejuvenation are you getting in your life? These will affect how toxic environmental toxins are to your system, and they can directly then potentiate or depotentiate, you might say, you know, upscale or downscale the risk of cancer that you are experiencing due to exposure to toxic environmental chemicals. Now, point number four, and by the way, I'm summarizing this. If you want to read the whole thing, get the book, The Politics of Cancer Revisited by Samuel Epstein. Number four, this is a very important point. He says, there's no known method for measuring or predicting a safe level of exposure to any carcinogen below which cancer will not result in any individual or population group. In other words, he's saying there's no scientific process to determine a safe level of exposure across a population for a chemical that causes cancer. Now, the herbicide giants like Monsanto, which likes to call itself a seed company, but it actually sells toxic herbicides far more than it sells seeds. Monsanto likes to say, and they pay off scientists and academics to say this too, they like to say that, oh, this is a safe level of glyphosate. You can eat a safe amount and still be okay. And it's funny how they want that, quote, safe amount to be a very high amount, so that their product can be used on more and more crops. But what Sam Epstein is stating here is that you really can't say that there's a safe level of a cancer-causing chemical across a population, because at least one person is going to get cancer from that, and surely many, many more. Today, for example, we know now the World Health Organization has declared that glyphosate, i.e. Roundup, herbicide, is a probable carcinogen, and it will very likely be added to a known, or added to the list of known carcinogens soon. And California has announced its intention to add glyphosate to its list of known carcinogens as well under Prop 65 there in the state of California. Now, so I hope at this point, let me just review quickly. You understand that cancer, the definition of cancer is very different from what you were told by the cancer industry. You are lied to deliberately by the profiteers and the quacks that are called oncologists or cancer doctors, who make money off of the false diagnosis by identifying tissue abnormalities that you might have and calling them cancer even when they're not. Now, I'm not saying that every cancer diagnosis is false, by the way. There are many that are problematic tumors that could kill you if you don't do something about them. But what I am saying is that the cancer doctors also engage in widespread false diagnosis, and they do it deliberately because they make money from oncology. Yes, they are unethical. That's exactly what I'm saying. They're unethical, and they should not even be licensed to practice medicine. But, you know, we have monopolistic state medical boards that are influenced and corrupted by drug money. You know, what else is new, right? Everything's corrupted in society. The government's corrupted. The medical schools are corrupted. The mainstream media has been corrupted. The universities, totally taken over, corrupted by corporate money. You know all that, right? So that's not any new information to you. I'm just asking you to think about these things that you know to be true and understand that if you go see a cancer doctor, he is not your friend, all right? He is a guy trying to make money off of you. He wants to bill Medicare for poisoning you, or he wants to bill your insurance company or Obamacare or whatever. His job is to convince you to sign the dotted line, get injected with his toxic chemicals so he can make money, period. That's his job. That's his take-home check, right? So you should not ever trust what that one person is saying. Always get a second opinion or a third opinion. Talk to a naturopath. Explore alternative treatments, even treatments that are not allowed in the United States, such as insulin potentiated chemotherapy or intravenous vitamin C therapy. You know, understand your options, get informed. So now that you understand, again, that is cancer, remember how cancer is caused. Cancer is the result of a cause, because we live in a cause and effect universe, and the typical cause of cancer is exposure to environmental toxins, which can be found in foods like glyphosate in your food, or medicines, personal care products. There are heavy metals in flu vaccines, for example. There's still mercury in flu shots. There's still lead in some certified organic superfoods. I'm actually the guy who made that well known in my lab and on the Dr. Oz show. I went on the show, I talked about lead in the rice protein from China. I talked about lead in the ginkgo biloba herbs because it's very high in many of those herbs and so on. So all of these things can contribute to cancer. If you want to prevent cancer, you need to reduce your exposure to environmental chemicals. But there's something else that you can do, and this is really the root of this special report. There are anti-cancer foods and nutraceuticals that are better than chemotherapy. They have plant-synthesized molecules, and I'm not going to call them drugs, even though the drug companies would call them that if they were isolated, but that there are plant molecules that themselves are very, very powerful medicines. And in this book, Foods That Fight Cancer, they list some of the physiological processes that these plant nutrients activate or pursue. So I'm just going to list some of these for you so that you know that many of these foods, and I'll get to the foods here shortly, that these foods have anti-cancer effects in your body and on your cells. So some of the processes that these foods and food nutrients are able to activate are as follows. They can inhibit growth factor receptors. They are inhibitors of inflammatory enzymes such as COX-2. They inhibit tumoral invasion and metastasis, which means the expansion and growing of the tumor itself. They inhibit transcription factors. They inhibit resistance to chemotherapy medications, which means they can actually potentiate chemotherapy, which if chemotherapy doctors weren't complete quacks and actually knew anything about nutrition, they could use certain foods and nutrients together with low-dose chemotherapy to achieve higher chemotherapy toxicity targeted to cancer cells while simultaneously having lower chemotherapy toxicity to the body's healthy cells. In other words, a good oncologist, if there is such a thing, it almost sounds like a contradiction, but if there were a good oncologist, and there are alternative medicine doctors that are good oncologists, they would combine microdosing of chemotherapy with nutrient-activated potentiation of the chemotherapy absorption in cancer tumors. That would be actually a rational, reasonable way to approach destroying cancer tumors with the combination of certain chemotherapeutic agents and certain food or nutraceutical molecules from the plant world. But again, modern medicine doesn't allow that.